open with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. And as you open there, I have a different question for you. Different question for you. You ready? Here it comes, while you're opening to John 5. What about when we witness to someone, and hopefully you've done that, and hopefully you do that. What about when we tell someone about Jesus? It could be telling your son or daughter or mom or dad or a relative, a coworker, a stranger. What about when you can tell they don't believe? What do you do then? Should you give up and say, well, they just don't believe it? Should you just walk away? Should you become silent? What would Jesus do? Well, we're seeing that in John chapter 5. Our text for this morning is John 5, 31 to 40. And we're continuing in this long discourse of Jesus Christ to Jews who do not believe in him. More than that, they want to kill him. They hate him. And yet Jesus, for the sake of their salvation, in order that they might be saved, he continues. But as we find today, they are still not willing to come. The title of today's message is based on our last verse of today's text, still not willing to come. John 5, 31 to 40, and as always, I encourage you to follow along. 5:31, John 5:31, Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth, yet I do not receive testimony from man. But I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that you may have life. This is quite a difficult text. I wrestled with this one all week, even this morning, starting at about 3:50 a.m., wrestling. Let's begin with a simple question. What is Jesus doing here? In these verses I just read you, John 5, 31 to 40, what is he doing here? I'm going to answer that in a second, but let's talk about what he's been doing up until this point. And here's what he's been doing. From John 5, 17, all the way down to John 5, 30, the verse right before today's text, Jesus has been witnessing of himself. That's what he's been doing. Jesus has been witnessing of himself, not by himself, not from himself. He has been witnessing about himself. He has been telling these Jews who want to kill him, he's been telling them the truth, that he's the Son of God, verse 17. That he sees everything the Father does, and that he does everything the Father does just the same way the Father does it. Verse 19. He's been testifying about himself, that he gives life to whomever he wills, just like the Father does. Verse 21. And he's been saying that everyone should honor him just as they honor God. Verse 23. And that those who don't honor Jesus as God, they don't honor God. Again, verse 23. Jesus has been testifying about himself. He's been telling the truth that those who hear his words and believe the Father who sent him, they have eternal life already. They will never come into judgment. And they have already passed out of death and into life. Jesus has been testifying of himself. And he's also been saying that he has life in himself, just like the Father does. He has authority over all men, and he's been teaching that your eternal destiny depends completely on Jesus Christ. Now, they don't believe him, and Jesus knows it. So now, what is he doing in 5:31 to 40? Here's what he's doing. Right, so far, he's been testifying of himself. And now he testifies of this truth, that he is not testifying by himself. Catch that? He's been testifying of himself, but it's not he alone who testifies. He now bears witness to the truth that there are others who are also testifying and who have testified to the truth about Jesus Christ. As we walk through the text, we're going to look first at the other witnesses. Other witnesses who also testify to the truth about Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you, part of the application here is that you will never bear witness to Jesus Christ all by your lonesome. You're not alone. Even if you, by yourself, are telling someone else about Jesus Christ, you need to know it's not you alone who testifies to these things. So first we'll look at the witnesses. Then we'll look at the response. The witnesses, that's 31 all the way down to 39. Then we'll look at the response in verse 40. And then third, we're going to look at a reality that is all throughout these verses. The witnesses, the response, and the reality. So notice first, the witnesses. Jesus says in verse 31, it's quite a hard statement, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now stop there. Is Jesus saying that if he bears witness of himself, his witness isn't true? No. Just for fun, we'll get here eventually. Turn over to John 8 for a second. Turn over to John 8. The Pharisees thought that he was saying that if he bears witness of himself, then his witness isn't true. And notice what they say in John 8, 13. They think they've got him. They remember what he said. And in John 8, 13, the Pharisees said to him, ha ha! No, that's not in the text. But I think that's implied. You bear witness of yourself. Your witness isn't true. What does that sound like? Sounds exactly like what Jesus says all the way back in John 5, 31. You might keep a finger in 31. Look at John 5, 31. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't true. Here in John 8, later, different scene, the Pharisees think they got him now because he says, in verse 12, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And they go, ha ha, we got you. You are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness isn't true. Look at Jesus, what Jesus says in John 14, 8, 14. Jesus said, answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Ha, stop there. Is that difficult? Yeah, that's difficult. It is almost a word-for-word contradiction of what Jesus says in John 5:31. So let's understand. What is he saying in John 5:31? Look at this first line. If I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't true. He's not saying that if I testify about myself, don't believe me. You get that? He's not saying that. He's been testifying about himself ever since verse 17. And he has many more things to say about himself. What he is saying is, and this might only be visible in the Greek text, and Brother John Rouse probably has his Greek text open back there. There's an emphatic, I heard you teach on this, Brother John Rouse. There's an emphatic personal pronoun here, and it basically is he's saying this. Hey, if I'm bearing witness all by myself, then my witness isn't true, but I'm not bearing witness all by myself. Jesus is giving a condition in verse 31 that is absolutely not true. Jesus is not testifying all by himself of these things. Verse 32, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Who's he talking about in verse 32? God the Father. That also might not be readily obvious, but verse 32, take a look at it. There is another. In Greek, there are two words for another. One is heteros, from which we get heterodoxy. Okay, but there's another Greek word for another, and it's called allos, and it means another of the same kind. And Jesus says in verse 32, there is another just like me. There is another of equal authority to me. There is another who carries the same weight as me, who bears witness, and present tense. There is another like me who is right now bearing witness about me, and I know, unlike you, the Jews who hated him, I know, unlike you, I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Who is Jesus' other witness of himself? God the Father. How does God the Father bear witness about his son? Through people that he sends to bear witness of him, like John the Baptist. We'll talk about him. Jesus will talk about him. Jesus bears witness through works. And Jesus will say, the works that I do, which the Father gave me, those bear witness of me. And the Father himself directly bears witness of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures, which are of the Father, bear witness of Jesus Christ. But Jesus' main other witness of himself is God the Father. And you know what he's saying to these Jews? And I will say to you, if you're here as an unbeliever, if you think that you're rejecting just me, if you think that you're just rejecting one of us, that is not the reality. No, if you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're rejecting God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and all the Holy Scriptures and all the prophets and all the works of Jesus. And you stand guilty before God of rejecting all that evidence which God has given concerning his Son. So let's look at these other witnesses. There's one main one, that's God the Father. But it's God the Father through John the Baptist, God the Father through the works of Jesus, and God the Father through the words of Scripture. Jesus says, verse 33, you have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Stop there. Well, Jesus is just reminding the Jews of what he knows to be true. That these Jews had sent an entourage out to John the Baptist to ask him, hey, who are you? You remember that back in John 1? Turn back there just for a quick second. John 1, page back there, real quick. Page is turning, follow along. John 1:19. As you know, John's gospel is very much about witnessing. It is not about sharing your faith. That's kind of one of those pet peeves of me and a lot of other people. We are not called to merely share our faith. That is never what we're doing. And you should never say, hey, look, I'm just telling you what I believe. No, we are called to testify to the truth. The difference is authority. Okay, that's one of your table talk questions. The difference is authority. Notice verse 19, John 1:19. Now this is the testimony or the witness of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Now back to John 5 and look at verse 33. Jesus is referring to this. John 5:33, Jesus says, you've sent to John. I know that you Jews sent priests and Levites out there to check with John. And I know that he has borne witness to the truth. About what? About Jesus Christ. And what was John's witness? What was John's testimony? Jesus Christ is Jehovah, right? John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of Jehovah. Make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, the one coming after me is God. What else was John the Baptist's witness? Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. This was John's testimony. So Jesus says to these Jews, verse 33, you've sent to John, and he's borne witness to the truth, yet I don't receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you might be saved. What does verse 34 mean? What it means is, I don't require or I don't depend upon men to validate my claims. Jesus doesn't need you. He doesn't depend upon you for his truth to be true. That's what he's saying later in chapter 8. When Jesus says, hey, even if I do bear witness of myself, my testimony is true, Jesus alone can say that because he is God. And so later in John 8, when he says, you know, even if I do bear witness of myself, my testimony is true because I know where I've come from, he is God. But here he's saying, you've sent to John, he's borne witness to the truth. I don't depend upon his testimony, but I refer to it so that you might be saved. Verse 35, he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. What is Jesus doing? He's testifying to the truth that he does not bear witness about himself alone. There are other witnesses like John the Baptist. And he even says, you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. How many of you remember the parable of the soils? Show of hands, quick. You remember the parable of the soils? Yeah. Remember the shallow soil? The shallow soil? What do? They receive the word, and at first, there's a joyful response. Kind of like you sow the seed on shallow soil, and oh my goodness, look, something's growing. it looks good at first, but then it says, immediately they receive the word with joy, but there's no blank in them. Anybody remember what it is? Root. No root. You know what the root stands for? Faith. But there's no genuine faith in them. And so they only endure for a little while and then they fall away. Jesus refers to that here. You were willing for a little while. You were willing for a season to rejoice in some of what John said. And they probably liked the fact that John was saying that the kingdom was coming. They probably liked to hear John the Baptist. He was an oddity. You know, he was out there he's eating locusts and wild honey. He's out there with a leather girdle strap. He's kind of reminiscent of the prophet Elijah. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm not the only one who's saying that I'm the Son of God. What about John the Baptist? You heard him. You sent to him. You were willing to listen to him for a while. But you know what? Jesus says, verse 36, I have a greater witness than that. Verse 36. But I have a greater witness than John's. What is it? The works. The works which the Father has given me to finish. The very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Well, isn't that true? Doesn't Jesus Christ have works that bear witness of him? He turned water into wine. And he gave sight to the blind. He calmed the raging sea. And he set demoniacs free. These are all the works of Jesus Christ in the last 3 years of his life. He walked on water. He healed a Canaanite woman's daughter. He did a miraculous catch of fish. He healed thousands who were sick. He made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. He even put back Malchus's sword-removed ear. Remember that? A guy named Malchus lopped off, or no, Peter cut off Malchus's ear, and Jesus, I guess, just picked up the ear off the ground and stuck it back, and it's instantly healed. I mean, what do these works tell you? Jesus Christ is sent from God, sent from heaven. He fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with two fish and a little bit of bread. He cleansed the lepers and he raised the dead. And there are many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. But praise God for this book. This book has the works of Jesus Christ. And every single work that Jesus ever did, not only the miraculous ones, but just his acts of kindness and compassion and grace and mercy and patience, all of these testify to the truth that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So what's Jesus doing? And what is Jesus doing for these Jews who don't even believe him, who reject him, who want to kill him? He's calling forth other witnesses and saying, listen, I'm not the only one who testifies to these things. Let me just stop here and tell you, if you will be obedient to Jesus Christ, and if you will tell other people about him, you will never be alone in that endeavor. God the Father testifies. All the prophets testify of Jesus Christ. All the saints testify of Jesus Christ. All the apostles testify of Jesus Christ. Everyone around you, we're with you, we testify of Jesus Christ. You are never the only one who is testifying to the truth that Jesus Christ is the only Savior for sinners. Right? You're never alone in that. Jesus is saying that. Jesus is saying, I am not the only one who is witnessing about myself. What about John the Baptist? What about the works that I do? And not only that, look at what he says in verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me, he has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Now some think that verse 37 might be a reference to what? You know? What do you think that's a reference to? Yell it out if you think you know. The baptism. Many people say that's probably a reference to the baptism. And it could be. And it certainly is true that God the Father testified concerning his Son at the baptism. However, Jesus says, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. I would say, well, it still could refer to the baptism. They just didn't hear it or they weren't listening. But it probably refers to the Father's testimony in Scripture. Because notice what Jesus says next, verse 38. But, it's kind of like, the problem is, you do not have his word abiding in you. Because whom he sent, him you do not believe. There's a good lesson right there, by the way. If somebody doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, do they have the word of God abiding in them? Absolutely not. You know how you can tell if somebody doesn't have the Word of God abiding in them? They don't believe in Jesus. Do you think these people thought they did have the Word of God abiding in them? Absolutely. Every Jew would have, he's rebuking them. Jesus is not only calling forth witnesses, he's exposing their spiritual condition by calling them forth. When he says, you have neither heard his voice at any time, he's saying, you're not like Moses who heard his voice. You have not seen his form. You're not like the Israelites. You're not like them. And verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And yet, or but, or nevertheless, verse 40, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. What is Jesus doing? Well, in 17 to 30, he's testifying of himself. And in 31 to 40, he's testifying to the truth that it's not he alone who testifies about himself. Why would you do that? Why would he do that? Back again to verse 34. I say these things that you may be saved. There's a great lesson in there for us. Listen, you're never testifying alone. Yesterday I told my neighbor this. My neighbor who's an atheist and to whom I've witnessed numerous times, I started witnessing to him again. And I started telling him the gospel and I said, well, you know, Joe, I'm not the only one who says these things. Your parents probably have told you these things. Churches that you've been to have told you these things. I am not the only one who is telling you these things. It's a great tool for witnessing. If you're witnessing to your husband or your wife or your son or daughter and you know they don't believe, you should say, listen, I love you, and so that you might be saved, let me tell you, I'm not the only one who says these things. Well, what's the response? Second, the response. Well, it's very interesting. Look at verse 40. Jesus says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wait, they're already there. They're standing face to face with Jesus Christ. What does it mean to come to Jesus? Doesn't mean to come to Jesus physically, right? What does Jesus mean when he says to them, you are not willing to come to me that you may have life? He means you're not willing to believe in me. And there's something also that's emphatic here. But you are not willing to me to come that you may have life. Oh, the Jews were willing to do all kinds of things that they might have life. They were willing to keep traditions. They were willing to go to synagogue. They were willing to listen to the scriptures read. They were willing to do good deeds. They were willing to do all kinds of things. But Jesus exposes the truth. But you're not willing to Jesus to come, that you might have life. Now think about this, because this gets into the reality. Do you think these Jews would have said that they believed in God? Absolutely. Do they believe in God? Absolutely not. No, do not believe it. They do not believe in God. Jesus is exposing that. If they did believe in God, they'd believe in Jesus. He's going to say that later. Don't believe that they believe in God, no matter how sincere they are. They are unbelievers, even in God. Do you think they would have said they believe the scriptures? Yes. Do they believe the scriptures? No. How do you know? Because they don't believe in Jesus. Do you think that they sincerely believed that they had eternal life, that they were good to go, that they're ready to enter heaven? Yes, Jesus even says that. Look, verse 39. You search the scriptures. You think you have eternal life. Do they have eternal life? No. How do you know? Because they don't believe in Jesus. Jesus is the one thing, the one person they don't have. Listen, you could be here today and you have everything. You have a Bible. Maybe you have baptism. Maybe you have good church attendance. Maybe you have a whole bunch of good deeds to your name. Maybe you give. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you've got nothing. Absolutely nothing. And everything else that you have is dung. You might not like that word, but it's right out of Philippians 3. If you don't have Christ, you've got nothing. Do you think that these Jews would have said that they love God? Absolutely. Did they love God? Absolutely not. Look at what Jesus says. Verse 40. but you're not willing to come to me that you have life. I don't receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. Now, what is Jesus doing? Jesus has transitioned from testifying about himself, which they do not believe, to calling in other witnesses to say, look, I'm not the only one who says these things, but your problem is you don't believe. You don't love God. You don't believe the Bible. You don't have the love of God in you. If you did, you'd love Jesus Christ. So what's the reality? Well, one reality is that people can be absolutely, completely deceived. And you are surrounded by people like that in this town and in your life. You live amongst people who are completely deceived. They think they're good to go. They think they believe in God. They think everything's right in their life, but they don't have Jesus Christ. You know anybody like that? Everybody who's religious but is not regenerate. Everybody who's religious but has not repented of sins and trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's a lot of people, beloved. That's a lot of people. One reality is people can think they know God. They think they have the scriptures. They think they are filled with good deeds, but they are deceived, thinking they're headed for heaven when the reality is they're headed for hell. And listen to this. Jesus is not done witnessing until he has made that truth clear. Jesus is a lot better witness than we are. We would have stopped way back in verse 23. We'd have stopped way before this. We'd have walked away and said, okay, I'm done now. Clearly you don't believe. I guess we're done here. No, they need to hear the truth that they don't believe. And that by not believing, they reject not only us, but God and Scripture and Christ and salvation and forgiveness and heaven. So let me give you a few realities if you're a believer and a few realities if you're not. Really clear now from the text that we've heard this morning. Number one, if you're a believer, when you bear witness of Jesus Christ, you are never alone. There is another who bears witness with you, God the Father. And along with him, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and all the Holy Scriptures. If you do what we're called to do and bear witness to the truth right out of the Bible, and don't just merely share your faith. We are not called to share our faith. We're not called to say, this is just what I believe. Because we're not telling just what we believe. We're telling the truth of God in heaven, right? If you do that, you'll never do it alone. You'll always have Jesus with you, who said, I am with you all the days, even to the end of the age. Second reality, if you're a believer. When you bear witness to the truth and they don't believe you, if they reject you, they're not just rejecting you, right? It's never just you being rejected. And you need to tell them that, right? It's part of our witness to tell them, listen, I understand you don't believe me. I understand that you're rejecting this, but I want you to know I care about you. I want you to be saved. I want you to know you're not just rejecting me. It goes way beyond that. You're rejecting the God of heaven. You're rejecting all the Holy Scriptures. You might even go so far as to say, listen, you don't have the love of God in you, which is not only their love for God, but God's love for them. They don't have it inside of them. What is God's love for man? The ultimate love, forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. They don't have that in them. So you could just say, look, I know that you don't have the love of God in you. What are you talking about? I love God. But you don't have the love of God in you. If you did, you'd love Jesus Christ. You would believe the gospel. Third reality, if you're a believer. If you witness to someone and they don't believe the gospel, but they believe they have eternal life, they are deceived. And the need is for someone to tell them. Even that's part of our witness, to tell them they're deceived. Look at what Jesus does from here on out. He basically begins exposing their spiritual condition. Verse 44, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and you don't seek the honor that comes from the only God? In other words, I know you're not seeking honor from God. Verse 45, don't think I will accuse you to the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses in whom you trust. Right? He's exposing their deception. They think they believe in Moses, but they don't believe in Moses. Because if they did, they would believe in Jesus Christ. Finally, what if you're an unbeliever? What are some of the realities here for you? Number one, the truth is that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the only Savior for sinners. And you should honor Jesus Christ as God. And it's not just I who testifies to these things. I would dare say almost everyone in this room would testify to those same things. and God the Father testifies to these things. So, number two, reality for you, if you do not believe, you're not just rejecting me or us or this church. You're rejecting the God of heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the only way that you could ever be saved from your sins. And third, if you still think that you're going to be fine by rejecting Jesus Christ, you are completely deceived. You're completely deceived. The reality is you don't have the love of God in you, and the only way out for you is to repent. Repent of your unbelief. You can do that today. You can say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for rejecting you all this time. Forgive me for not believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. And today, just confess that and say, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me to believe in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we never witness alone. Thank you for all these other witnesses you remind us of this morning. Thank you for reminding us of the reality that many people are deceived, and we've been called to go to them with the gospel, tell them the truth about Jesus Christ, and even expose their evil unbelief. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who has not yet come to Christ, may you give them a heart that's willing today so that they would not leave deceived. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.